away. I don't get angry at the bills I have to pay. I don't get angry with my mom's folks by. Hits the bottle and goes right to the rock. Puff, get it right, it is all the same. Living with Louis Dog's the only way to stay sane. Let the loving come back to me.
What up? It's Bridget here on WPGU 107.1, and I've got Isaac of the Withershins in the studio today. They've got their farewell show tonight at 9 p.m. at the Accord, so make sure to head on out. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So first of all, I've got to ask, Withershins is such a unique name. Does it hold any significance to the band?
Yeah. Maybe not for the other guys, but it was pretty meaningful for me. It's a weird word. It's actually an adverb. It means counterclockwise. So we get called the Withershins a lot, but it's actually not like a plural word.
Mm-hmm.
But anytime I get upset about that, I really just look like a big jerk. So I kind of just let it go for the most part. The shortest way I can tell this story is I was at the U of I taking a grad course in Old Irish language. And in all these stories, we were translating from Old Irish into modern English. There were different kinds, and I knew it was a death tale if I saw the word Withershins, because that meant that the hero took their dog chariot in a clockwise turn, and that meant no matter what else happened in the story, they were going to die. At the end of that translation, I'd find out that character was dead. It was consistent. That's what that meant. So I guess I started the band sort of in a rough patch in my life, and the word kind of just means doomed. So it's interesting. Here we are. We have found our doom. This is it.
Wow. And so that's got to be kind of especially hold significance now when we're getting towards the end. First off, how did this all start if we're going counterclockwise? How'd you guys end up forming the band in the first place?
Well, I was about to say it's pretty interesting, but no, I think it's quite boring. There was a band called Johnny York. They were a cool alt-rock band, and their singer moved away. And so there were three members who met me on openingbands.com, which was totally still viable then, I guess. And they really just, I mean, we just fit in like that. Our original guitarist was a guy named The Diamond, and he was great. He had, I think, his offerings and input just kind of set the tone of what we wanted. But, you know, we were already on a second guitarist by the time we played our first show, and that second guitarist didn't make it to the show. So we actually played our first show as a three-piece, which is something we only did maybe once more after that, maybe. That was a goofy one.
That's pretty interesting. So when you're talking about this and you're talking about the different people you've had in the band, can you also talk a little bit about the evolution of the band from you've had three LPs, full LPs out, and now you're releasing a Highlights that was just released today, I believe?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It's not really a greatest hits per se. I guess Highlights implies that, but it's really just the songs that haven't already been expressed in available recordings acoustically that make sense just by myself. There's some songs that I really enjoy, like Forsaken off of Ariel or Aquamarine off of Mount Fuji and Blue, but those tracks don't really feel great solo. I mean, I performed them solo before, but it's just you really want that interplay of the other melodies and rhythms and all that. So you're talking about, the question was the evolution of the band? Do you mean in terms of sound or? Because we did have other personnel changes. The sound developed from, we did an interview with Buzz recently where Bryce brought up the fact that, and I think we've talked about this throughout the years, the first record, Ariel, I kind of wrote most of that. And I don't just mean the songs. I mean, like, I wrote a lot of the parts. I'm amazed. Looking back, I'm amazed Bryce put up with it at all. I really kind of wrote a lot of his parts. If you're listening to that record and you hear something super interesting, that's probably one of the few lines that Bryce wrote. I had ideas for drum parts, but I don't play drums. So Colin, our drummer at the time, was just amazing support there and talent and interpretation. And Neil, I don't think Neil understood what I was trying to accomplish on the bass, and not for a lack of talent or anything. Just I think I was trying some things that didn't always land. And he's just had obligations. He wasn't at every recording session per se, so maybe he missed. I didn't allow or even seek as much input maybe on that first record.
Sure.
We got together in my garage in the summer of 2007, played our first gig in the spring of 2008, and then put out our first record in the summer of 2009. So there's a lot of time, but it's hard to see now, looking back, how much we grew in those 2 years. I mean, we did, but it's just the perspective looking back now. I mean, we've played Double Door, we've played with bands that inspired me to play music in the first place. So it was a toddler stage, sort of me figuring out how rock bands actually work, because I played a lot of music and booked a lot of shows and been around gigs for most of my life, like since I was 11. But rock bands in particular, I just didn't know how it worked. So for me, my personal experience of looking back through the early years was learning how to be that. And Colin showed me a lot of the technical end. Neil showed me a lot of the sort of social end, and how you interact with other bands and musicians. And Bryce, I guess, taught me to step my frickin' game up, because he's just so flippin' talented.
That's awesome. And it sounds like you're talking about a lot of these guys, very, like, they're all very close to you, and I'm sure they are. So how does it feel, and how do you go about preparing for this being your final show compared to playing other shows? Or are you just kind of letting it happen and waiting to see?
It makes me sound like I have my ish together if I say I'm letting it happen, but really I'm just planning on dealing with it later.
That makes sense.
I don't know how to process it. I mean, how we prepared for tonight was we practiced. That's about it. We just...
Makes sense.
It was impossible to process Wednesday night as the final Withershins practice.
That's hard, for sure.
Yeah, it's a bummer. I only thought about it today. I was at the barber shop, and I realized that these songs, like, I like them. Like, people that I like.
Yeah.
And it's like I'm not going to get to see them anymore. I'm not going to get to interact with them anymore. Like, playing those songs live and making them come to life and being a part of them is truly gratifying, and it's fun, it's challenging, and, you know, we have four now records, but the three full band records are gonna really just be like looking at old pictures of people that you used to know, and it's just, I'm trying not to be down about it. I mean, I'm not that down.
I understand.
Because I still get to do it one more time. Like, later on tonight, I'm going to get to send these tunes off and do it one last time. But some of them, like, that's the evolution. The first record, I wanted everything perfect. And then the second record, I think I realized that wasn't going to happen just alone, because I'm not all that great. I'm not that talented. I'm not that smart. And it became more collaborative with Silver Cities. And I think that it's probably best to take local awards, or maybe even any awards, with a grain of salt, but for Smile Politely to call Silver Cities best rock band, best local rock album, sorry, of 2012, the year it came out, it just felt like a validation or affirmation that, yes, this is the right way to do a rock band. You get everybody in, everybody with their own voice and level, idiomatic expressions through their instrument, and it'll feel right. So it was a bit of a kick to the teeth whenever we lost Colin. Mm-hmm. He moved away, and then luckily Luke Bergketter of Bookmobile Take Care started playing drums with us. And then that was maybe one of the more, I don't know, I think from each record there's so much of a change in sound, really. But that, you know, the drummer, that dictates feel. And
it does.
I mean, he picked up what we threw down, but we, I think maybe another drummer that had his skill level and could do whatever the songs required, maybe would have tried to fit in, and Luke never, he didn't allow that, or he didn't try that. Luke was kind of like, I just got a puppy, and I feel this metaphor, the only thing is, like, I feel like Luke had the frickin' stick, and he's like, no, you got to come here. Like, he made us work with him, and at first I was frustrated because, again, I'm not that talented. It was a bit like hitting a brick wall. But then whenever I figured it out and I let go and I met him where he was at, I realized, oh, I should just trust him because he knows what's up. He knows what's up. And when we're digging in together, some of the best stuff. It felt like it did whenever we hit our peak at Silver Cities. It's just a different kind of feel. And, yeah, I love those guys. One of my buddies from back home I went to high school with, he was like, so how's Withershins? I'm like, well, like breaking up. He's like, oh, shoot. Are you on good terms with the guys? I was like, we're closer than we've ever been before in our lives. Like,
right.
These guys are my brothers. We've forged a bond that, I mean, we're not going to practice every week anymore. But, I mean, all they need to do is call. They're family.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. And as someone who has been to your shows before, you can definitely feel that. You can feel the energy, how every single one of you guys makes a huge impact on the music that you make. None of it could come together without all of you, especially with their newer stuff. So it's really great.
Thank you. That means a lot.
Of course. So I have a few more questions, but maybe we should do a song. So
sure.
First, can I just ask what song you're planning on playing, and is there any meaning behind it?
Sure. I'd like to play Falling Waltz, which is a track off of our first record, Ariel. This is a song I wrote in college back in 2004. So this song is over a decade old, but it was one of the first ones we played together in my garage, and it was the first tune that I knew we were a band and not just a conglomeration of schmoes in a garage. It was actually Nick Brown, a British guitarist who was here. I don't know if he was studying. He might have just been working, but terribly talented guitarist. And we had a similar connection. We were both big fans of Cocteau Twins and Nick Drake. And he was at some of the first jams in the garage, and we wrote a bridge together, all however many of us were there. Bryce was actually there, I think. Mm-hmm. He just wasn't playing guitar. He was just hanging out at my house because we go way back. And Nick Brown just started feeding back, and that turned into, we moved this song into a minor key for a bridge, and that became, like, Nick, if there's ever a recording of this, or if you're watching this on Facebook, or if, I just want you to know, I really think this huge, epic, cathartic bridge going from that kind of switch, not necessarily in that order, with, like, just soaring lead part and just intensity, I think that became the cornerstone of, like, well, that's a Withershins song. Like, that, I think I finished Ariel with that moment of, like, ah, that's that good stuff. So it's harder to do with an acoustic guitar now.
Sure.
But I still think of him feeding back a lot. When I think of that song, I don't think of, you know, the dorm room I wrote it in Bowling Green, Kentucky. I don't think of the record version on Ariel. I think of that garage off of Elmwood in West Champaign. Probably that big bottle of Jameson that Tracy brought. Anyway, it's called Falling Waltz, and it's got a lot of nice emotions in it, and I hope it sounds good, and I hope you'll enjoy it. Thank you. I sit and write alone by the light. Try to find what's inside. I look at you, but all I see is me empty. And everything I wanted us to be, this is the sound of falling down. A snowflake floats sidelong between branches and traffic and alleys and bars. So I'm left to dream of you catching me. Sit and write alone by the light.
If you're just tuning in, I'm here with Isaac Arms of the Withershins, live in the studio. They've got their farewell show going on tonight at 9 p.m. at the Accord. So would you mind talking to me just a little bit? We know that you guys are going on an indefinite hiatus. What's next for you?
For me? More booking, more shows, more record label, more writing, hopefully. Honestly, I haven't much written a song since Mount Fuji in Blue, which came out in 2014. Mm-hmm. So it's been kind of a rough patch, but I've wanted to write for Withershins and it wasn't coming. So I'm wondering now if I'm, I guess, alleviated of that outlet, what'll happen. But as far as projects for me personally, there's a group called Winder. They're based out of Bloomington Normal. Mm-hmm. They're going through lineup change due to whatever reasons that aren't really for me to say.
Sure.
But I've been approached. I think it's okay. I think Chris, the bassist and vocalist, mentioned something about me playing with him online, so I'm going to go ahead and just say. I've been asked to play guitars, and I hope to do that. The band, And then had no idea I'd ever play in the group, but I named them after Hum Song.
Okay.
Off Electric 2000, good song, look it up. Definitely. And then I've played with Kurt Bielema in the Electrical Show.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt is an artist on my label Airship Records. I love his music very much. He performs great solo, and he will do that all the time. But every once in a while, he put together a group, Cody Lee on bass, James Treichler on drums, Ryan Groff on lead, and myself also on lead guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime that we're able to come together, I'd love to do that. So I might be seen on stage with Kurt Bielema. Let's see. There was another band somebody wanted to start with me, but I just don't think it's going to happen. So I don't know. I'm not going to be... Oh, there's another one I'll be playing with, but I'm not allowed to talk about it.
Sure.
And that's really coy and stupid, but it's true. So I just don't think you'll be lacking.
We're not done with you yet.
No. No. And I book shows at Library House, and I'm booking shows at IMC, and I'm putting out oodles of local music via my label Airship Records.
So how, this is something I've always wondered, how can you juggle doing all of these things and being sane and having a normal life? How can you play in bands and book shows and attend shows? You've been in almost every single local show that I've been to.
It's interesting you say that. I'm not sane, and okay. I don't have a normal life. So that's my quick answer.
I see.
Poor health, physically, mentally, emotionally. Lack of sleep. Lack of self-care. Egomania. I don't know. I don't know. It's not tenable. It's not sustainable. With Mike and Molly's gone, mm-hmm. it's much easier to book my living room, tell you that.
Sure.
It's low pressure. It's easy. It's fun. Which, by the way, if you know me, get a hold of me. There's a show at my house tomorrow. It's going to be fun. It's going to be on the porch, our first one.
Awesome.
Yeah, Ryan Groff, who I mentioned earlier, is playing. Kurt Bielema is playing. Kittens Incorporated are playing. Independent Media Center in Urbana. Super cool. It's a little, I mean, I've not done an inch, I haven't done a fraction of the work that Paul Kottheimer has done, but there are, and Todd Durnell, but there are people working to make that much more vibrant venue show space again. Some of the first shows I went to when I moved here in 2005 were at the IMC. So I guess one of the things some people have lines. I've seen that mm-hmm. on Facebook. What's a typical whatever line? One of my typical lines is, I'm a pretty boring person. All I do is music. And some people find that interesting because there's a lot going on with music. But in terms of, like, list your interests. And I'm like, well, there's a subcategories. There's a list of subcategories. But really, it's just music. It's just kind of all I do. I'm trying to think of anything else I engage in. And that's, like, it. Any aspect of music that you can imagine, I got fingers in it because it's just what I do.
Hey, that's a lot. That's a lot. And thank you so much for everything that you've done for this community with Library House, IMC, Airship Records, the bands. You've been a huge part of this community.
My friend and bandmate Luke gave me one of the best compliments ever mm-hmm. a couple of days ago. Everybody in the band has been making these wonderful saccharine posts about the show and our group kind of coming to a close. And he called me the best music enabler. And when I'm doing my best work, it's not about me.
Right.
Like I play solo shows, but I try to just play benefits. Withershins has been successful in my opinion because I made it less about me. Airship Records is just me. We have no employees, but it's about putting out other music. I like curating shows that I book to my specifications, how I think it's cool, but it's so that I can lift up local and touring artists. So I think it means a lot that you thank me, but I accept the apology only on behalf of dozens upon dozens of insanely talented individuals and a core handful of people like Aaron McAllister, Colin Larson, Kevin Miller, who Ward Galling, Seth Fine, who showed me what it's like and how to do it.
That makes sense. So, yeah, along those lines then, you said you play a lot of benefits, you try and make things not about you. But asking you, what was your favorite show that you've ever played? Or what's your favorite venue to play at?
Mike and Molly's.
Mike and Molly's, of course.
My favorite show? I mean, I don't really remember it, but I've seen footage of the Silver Cities release show. And at the end of it, I guess I just held my guitar out and had everybody play the chord that I was holding, which is some rock star crap that I'm not capable of. But I got to it where I did it, and I don't think it was premeditated at all. So I think when those things are genuine, they're really quite real and raw and good and nice. And I think that would be, I could have died in that moment and I'd be pretty satisfied with it, because sure, all the cameras were pointed at me, but like, I was giving up the end of that song to everybody else. So I think that's a good memory, even though I don't directly remember it. Yet again, Mike and Molly's.
Mike and Molly's, yes. Probably have time for a few more questions, maybe another song. So is there something else that you wanted to play for us?
Sure. It's already up on the Bandcamp, but I'd like to play it live. There's a song called An Amateur Chemist. It's one of my favorites that I've written, and I did have a lot of things in mind for this. Was a Withershins tune, even though I kind of wrote it by myself. And the way everybody just stepped in, it was the perfect combination of, yes, this is what I hoped for when I wrote it, but also they're doing their thing. So, and in particular, on the version of this song, the full band recording that's on Mount Fuji in Blue, I just want to shout out Aaron McAllister and Creech, my bandmates from Thunder Truck, and Johnny Chemical and Tyler Chin. There was a solo in the full band version of Chemist where that is a solo that I wrote and performed with Thunder Truck when I was in that band. And then I was no longer in that band. And then after that, we were working on this song, and I was like, hey, that solo on that one tune, can I just have that back? Can I keep that for this? And Jibsky was like, yeah, sure, pal. Go on ahead. It's yours. So getting to salvage that solo, I am that Spinal Tap jackass who's just like, every once in a while, give me just a roaring, rip-roaring lead because it's fun. So I'm not going to do that on an acoustic guitar.
Sure.
But luckily the song has enough else going on for it that it means a lot to me, and I think it's a solid tune. So anyway,
we'll turn it up to 11.
All right. If we turn this guitar up to 11, the Taylor may explode.
Oh, no.
Well, we'll do what we can. And as often as I can, I try to dedicate this song to Andrew Youssef, for whom I wrote it. Not be fixed, mixed it up. I got it twisted. You get enough, and the body listens. Thank you.
So hold on. It won't be long. Someone will come to save us, right?
Once again, if you're just tuning in, I'm here with Isaac Arms of Withershins live in the studio. They've got their farewell show going on tonight at 9 p.m. at the Accord. We've been going for about a half hour or so now, so I've got maybe one more question for you.
Right on.
So I normally host a show called Request Live from 5 to 6 p.m., and on that show, once in a blue moon, we do something called Cover Mania Mondays. Similarly, in this town, we always have the great cover-up every year. So in honor of both of those things, this is a two-part question. First, what's your favorite cover that you have ever done? And then what's the favorite cover that you've ever heard?
Favorite cover that I've ever done. Well, the band has had to... We've recorded some covers for our Kickstarter backers, and a lot of that's been really fun. And some of them have been tracked, and I still haven't heard them. So... I wish I could enter those in, and I don't know. We did Africa by Toto. I'm wondering if that's going to be on the list of favorites. Okay. We did like a 9-minute stoner rock version of Jolene by Dolly Parton.
Awesome.
I'm kind of a fan of that. I mean, I do a handful of covers solo, but Withershins as a group has been solidly anti-cover.
Sure.
There's multiple reasons. One, we have a lot of cover bands in town.
Sure.
And they make more money in a night than we've made in our entire 9 years of being in a band.
Seriously.
So that's some bitterness and jealousy easily.
Sorry for bringing that up.
No, whatever. I think covers are fun, personally, but I'm only one of five people in the band. I don't know. I think we have like a new metal version of Fast Car by Tracy Chapman. That might be the funniest and coolest thing we've done. And what is the other question?
Do you have a favorite cover that you've ever heard?
That I've ever heard? I think one of the covers that truly embodies what I think a cover is a Galaxy 500 covered New Order's Ceremony.
Mm.
Or I never remember if it's a New Order or a Joy Division song.
Sure.
I guess it has to be a Joy Division song, but it was because Ian Curtis sings on it,
I think.
But it was at the tail end of, it was like one of the last things they did. But yeah, the original of that song is one of the best songs ever. But the cover of it is super slowed down, and it embodies everything that, like, it sounds like a Galaxy 500 song. But I mean, I guess a good example of that is Blue Monday by Orgy. It sounds like Orgy, but it's not their song. I just hate that cover. And it's so bad it actually makes me not like the original somewhat.
Oh.
So that's like the opposite of the intended thing. There was a group I was going to put out on my very first label back in 2006 or so, Pop Monster Records. They were called the Autopilot Society, and they did a cover of Go Your Own Way that, man, I wish I still had it. Insane. Very, very good. Yeah, and I think when I was young, it's pretty embarrassing, and this is like Mike Ingram shout out, but the Boys in the Hood acoustic cover by Dynamite Hack. Yeah, I thought that was... real cool when I was like 12.
Awesome. Okay. Well, I think that we are just about out of time. Is there anything else that you want to say?
Hey, come see us at the Accord tonight. Doors are at 8. Show starts at 9. Our label mates and good friends Windmills are opening up. They're amazing. They're one of the only bands I've signed to my label that don't even have a record out. I just signed them just to be associated with them and to help develop them as a local band because I believe in them. They're a three-piece that each, much like Withershin's Goal, each component there does so much and is a tripod. They hold each other up. And then Cantalooper, we played with them at Kalamazoo Shoegazer, a shoegaze festival in Kalamazoo, Michigan. That's kind of how I met them. And I can't say enough good stuff about them. If you like Page of the Lion, David Bazan, and you like shoegaze, well, you're in for a flipping treat. And Vaudevillains are our brothers, too. They're like our band brothers. Our very first show in 2008 was played with Deconstructing Jim, and two members of that band are in Vaudevillains. It's kind of a spiritual follow-up to that band. And we've played more shows with Vaudevillains than maybe any other band, really. And then we're on around midnight, so... these acoustic songs you heard, they're going to be on a cassette tape or a digital download that's going to be available. We're calling it our fourth record. It's really just me solo, but it's all songs off of our full length, and it'll be free to stream probably tomorrow. But A Sparrow and Crow Records out of Springfield put it out. Miles, shout out, big love. And Thomas Fry did the art, which filled me, made me feel some kind of way. If you don't have our older records, come to the show tonight and buy a copy so they don't just gather dust and make me cry.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And again, make sure to catch them. Withershin's farewell show tonight. Doors at 8, show at 9 at the Accord. I expect full attendance. If you want to hear more about the Withershins, about Isaac, about Airship, about any of those things, there are tons of articles online. Buzz has covered them. Smile Politely has covered them. So you
Thanks
can go look at those. You can go look at those and check them out because they're really cool guys. It's an awesome show. Awesome band. They've been around since 2007. We're going to listen to one of the songs off of your recent release.
One of my favorite anecdotes ever was sure. I played some acoustic songs with Withershins in like 2009, 2011, something like that. And it was probably more like 2011. And I was in the studio downstairs right off of the street. And T-Vic was also there. And I just signed them to my label. So it was probably 2012.
Sure.
And Don and Scott from Terminus Victor were there playing acoustic first time. I can't believe I convinced them to do this. It was so cool. And the student interviewing me was like, so Isaac, they were interviewing T-Vic, and they said, Terminus Victor, you've been around even longer than Withershins, which I thought was hilarious because at the time we'd only been around for like 3 or 5 years maybe. But sure. I guess for a college town.
That's a long time.
That's kind of a long time. Terminus Victor been around since, I don't even know when, like 99? Mm-hmm. I mean, 90s. I can't even accurately say it, and they're on my freaking label. But they've been holding it down. And that's the kind of inspiration and inheritance that produces a band like Withershins. So 9 years is a really long time to be a band, and we wouldn't have done it if it hadn't have been for a lot of love and support. So thank you for being part of that.
Thank you. All right. Playing us out, it's Viking Funeral by the Withershins. Take care, Polar Bear.
smoke.